everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. This is Kate Romero, your host for the evening, and I'd like to thank Don Newsom and Doug Newsom and BBS Radio for this wonderful platform for Spiritual Hollywood, where we're using Hollywood to make a difference and raise consciousness. Tonight we have as our guest Michael Benner, who is also very much up to the same thing, and I believe that it is Michael's passion to help people get back to their divinity, to who they really, really are, which is my own passion. And I will bring Michael on in just a second after I read a brief bio to give you some idea of who he is. And while I'm reading this, if you'd like to pull up his websites, being this is internet radio, go to www.theagelesswisdom.com is one of his sites. That's www.theagelesswisdom.com. Next website is www.michaelbenner.com, which is michaelbenner.com. And those are his websites. Michael is quite a diverse person and very eclectic, which I like a lot. Michael's best known throughout Southern California for his popular talk radio program since 1977. He has hosted news and talk shows in Los Angeles on KABC AM, KLOS FM, KLSX FM, KCBS FM, and KRLA AM. Currently, he's heard on 90.7 FM, KPFK, and that's Friday afternoons at 1 p.m., and his program, Inner Vision, is a philosophical, metaphysical, and spiritual exploration of human potential. In 1987, Michael made broadcasting an avocation as he launched his own business, Personal Development Strategies, with offices in Burbank. He provides counseling, training, and coaching to individuals, couples, and businesses with an emphasis on emotional intelligence, self-realization, and relationship management. And here's one of my favorite things is we have a fingerprint evidence and DNA proof of our individuality, Michael says. Yet most people have little interest in becoming the person that they are truly meant to be. Until we begin to discover and develop our authentic uniqueness, true happiness and fulfillment will remain unavailable to us. And I couldn't say that better myself. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on Michael Benner. Welcome, Michael. Thank you for being here this evening.
Well, thank you, Kate. Good evening, and I sure appreciate you having me on your Spiritual Hollywood program. I'm looking forward to it.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I just really, really see a synergy here of what you've been doing and what it is that I'm doing and what Don Newsom is doing with BBSRadio.com. Is that we're using media to raise consciousness in any way that we can. And it looks like you've had your share of talk shows for a good deal of your adult life. And I'm just wondering, what was it that drew you to that medium, to have talk shows, to do talk shows?
Well, I've always been interested in hypnosis and meditation, growing up, as it were, in the 60s. And I've always been interested in radio. My father was an electrical engineer, and I'm old enough, believe it or not, to remember the first television that was dragged into my living room, and radio and TV. In fact, I was an amateur radio operator when I was 14 years old. And so I tried a couple of things in college and ended up majoring in television and radio, worked my way through school as a newsman in a local radio station, loved it so much I said, I'm going for it, got my degree, and continued until the late 80s doing news and talk shows and commentary as a career.
Right. Wow, that's wonderful. And it sounded like you really knew what it was you wanted to do very early on.
I think I did. You know, people always tell me, gosh, you have the voice for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I do meditation and hypnosis as a teacher and a trainer, they say, you really have the voice for it. So I like to think there's more going on than the tone of voice here, but broadcasting and guided narratives, you know, into states of expanded consciousness are really quite different in some ways, but in other ways, quite similar. So,
exactly. And what I'm seeing, too, I always draw a parallel, at least for myself, Michael, that radio is frequency, and we are, all of us, each one of us, a very powerful TV tower sending out frequency. So to be able to have conversations such as this on radio, sending out that kind of frequency, feels it feels right. It feels in alignment with raising consciousness, because the fact that you were drawn to radio in the first place tells me you have a very high frequency, if that makes any sense.
Sure. In fact, we could factor in the beauty of music and color at the same time, their frequencies. And wouldn't it do us all well to think of physical reality as a set of frequencies, and certainly consciousness? I mean, what is expanding or raising consciousness but to uplift the frequency?
Exactly, and constantly finely tune that.
Indeed.
Exactly. And I was just thinking earlier today, I gave up my many, many, many parts of my television experience because I found that the more I attuned myself to outer frequencies, like watching television, I do, as a talent manager, watch at least, you know, every show one time so I know what I'm doing in the business that I'm doing, but I don't watch TV as a rule, because I was finding that the more I focused on outer frequencies such as television, the more I was not focusing on my inner frequency and developing that. So I noticed last night, as I was happened to have on my television, because I really love to watch the Science Channel if I am going to watch television, or the History Channel, or something that can, you know, inspire and educate me in a way that I would like to be educated. And I just happened to come across, and now there's nothing wrong with The Sopranos, was absolutely my favorite HBO show ever for the longest time, for many seasons. And it's been a great deal of time since I've seen an episode, and I happened to come across an episode of it last night. Within the first 15 minutes, I felt my frequency being drawn down into a crash and burn that surprised me, because apparently I've distanced myself so much from that kind of activity and frequency, and have tuned my frequency in other ways, which are higher, more spiritual ways, which are higher consciousness ways, that I found that that was affecting me adversely. And I was so blown away by that I'm actually even mentioning it now on the radio show. But I found that to be very surprising. Do you ever find that things that you used to tolerate or be desensitized to at one point in your life, you now have a hard time tolerating them?
Well, especially television, Kate. You know, this is a hypnotic medium. In many ways, we go into an alpha brainwave level, most of the time, when we watch television. What that means is that the subconscious becomes more available, it opens to us, and one of the primary traits of the subconscious is it's the imagination. It doesn't distinguish between something that's really happening and something that's on TV. So your body thought you were your conscious mind knew the difference,
mm-hmm.
but your subconscious mind thinks this is really happening.
Yes, it was disturbing.
Just like a movie, you know, we pay $12 now for a movie, and you turn off the conscious critical mind that
mm-hmm.
says this is only a movie
mm-hmm.
and allow the imagination to carry you away. And then we carry the emotional affect from the film
mm-hmm.
to a large extent as if it actually happened to us. So you're right. We have to be careful what we expose ourselves to.
More so than careful, we must be conscious.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was trying to say it softly. But
definitely. Yeah. Well, for myself, I've taken the word careful and made it into conscious. Everywhere I used to say careful, I now say conscious. So
that
was not my correcting you, it was my correcting me.
They're both wonderful words.
Yes, and to suspend reality is fun and great, and I'm in the entertainment industry, so of course I'm an advocate for that, but I'm also an advocate for using Hollywood in every way that I can to raise consciousness and to leave moviegoers with a lasting feeling like something actually really did happen, like a shift within themselves that they can walk away with and will serve them for the rest of their lives. Like, for instance, for me, have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, sure.
Well, in that movie, I was a single mom, and, you know, times were hard at times. I was an actress in Hollywood, and being a single mom in a man's world, I managed to always be working, but it was not easy. And there was this one particular time where just there was an actor strike and the phone wasn't ringing, and I'm, you know, responsible for raising my child, and not just raising my child, but helping him thrive and thriving myself. And I was going into a little bit of a depression, and I watched Shawshank Redemption, and I'm telling you, to this very day, one line I heard in that movie made all the difference in my life. Can you guess what that line was?
I don't know the movie well enough, but you tell me.
When I tell you, you'll know.
Okay.
Either get busy living or get busy dying.
Oh, yeah. Bob Dylan has a line like that. He not busy being born is busy dying.
Hmm.
And you're right. I think that's why young kids sometimes get in trouble, because their need to be is so strong that if they don't have a creative outlet or haven't been guided into a positive, life-affirming, creative direction, they've got to have some impact on the world, so they become negative in their impact. If they can't get their name in the newspaper, they write it on a wall. But everybody needs, you know, everybody needs to be somebody. And
yes,
what we as teachers want to do, of course, is point them in a positive, life-affirming direction.
Well, yes, and we were those children at one point as well, weren't we?
Well, I never tagged a wall, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we're swimming in that creative soup, and we don't know what to do with it. We're choking on it. We have to do something with it.
A lot of choices. A lot of choices. And I think, you know, the family and our exposure to literature and to good music and the set of people that
guidance
are around us. Yeah, all of that is,
yes,
important.
Yes, all very, very important. And I'm finding for myself that there is a momentum taking place on a consciousness level, collective consciousness, that's very, very timely, where it's just, you know, it's just by osmosis people are becoming more conscious.
Well,
and I think that it's very timely.
Oh, it's, you know, necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we full of aphorisms tonight?
Oh, yes, we are.
These are dark times. We're at a crossroads. And so we could, I see it in many ways as being similar to what happened 2,000 years ago, that we could move forward as many cultures were doing, or we could take a wrong turn and be plunged into 1,000 years of dark ages where people are scratching in the dirt with a stick. And in many ways, that's where we are now. We can either pursue a vision of fear and terror, or we can pursue a vision of love and light.
Mm-hmm.
We can either divide the world and live in a you or me world,
mm-hmm,
or begin to harmonize, if not unify, at least harmonize the world and live in a you and me rather than a you or me world.
Mm-hmm. An us kind of world.
An us world, yeah.
Yes.
Where we don't have to agree to get along. I don't even have to like you in order to love you as a spiritual being.
Absolutely, and I feel the same way. And I was just pondering that this morning, and before I get out of bed, my left leg is thank and my right leg is you, and that's the way I get up in the morning. And before I even do that, I stop for a minute and I think about, and this morning for me it was, I can't think of one single person in my life that I feel bad feelings toward that I could say I don't love. There is not one person. I mean, I get very, very fully, as corny as this might sound, and if I'm going to ever say anything corny, I could certainly say it on this show, because this show is about anything that's not mainstream. It's on BBS Radio, and I love that about BBS Radio, is that the whole world is indeed my family. I don't have to hang out with them all, but I certainly can love them all. And I do, and I feel that. And I believe that if each one of us individually had the intention, even for a day, to be the one person that ignites consciousness on the planet, we would have a whole different world tomorrow.
Yeah, we need to work a lot with the language. I so agree with you. I think, for example, and this is such a rich area, just talking about the nature of love, my goodness,
mm-hmm,
we know love as lust. We know love as sweet romance.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vague sense of love as a spiritual affect, but if you ask even a mainstream Christian what it means to love his enemy, most people have a hard time. They're not sure that how is spiritual love different from, let's say, emotional love.
Mm-hmm.
And further, are we sure love is a commodity that we can hand back and forth to each other like a bushel of apples or something? Is it true that God loves us, or is it more true that God is love? And if we're in the image and likeness of that, then it's one thing to say, I love you. It's
mm-hmm.
another thing to say, I am love, and mm-hmm. I see that love in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to be love
mm-hmm.
and give that than to think of love as a commodity that we seek in the world. I think most of us do it backwards. We say life is what you make it, but most of us think life is what's done to us, whether it's bad stuff or good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We want to avoid the bad stuff, but we're looking to other people to give us something that we not only already have,
mm-hmm.
love,
mm-hmm.
but who we really are.
Yeah, and we can have, do, and be everything we choose already because it is within us. It's just a matter, I have a Katieism, if you don't go within, you're going to go without. And that's just the way it is. And I don't know if you know this about one thing I do, you mentioned hypnosis. I have a partner, Alex Schief, who is a certified hypnotherapist from the HMI Institute in Tarzana, which is the only accredited school in the world, really. And I'm also a life coach. And I went to him, someone gave me a gift certificate for my birthday, and I went to him for a session just to fool around with some past life stuff, you know, because I hadn't done that before and I was curious. So we had a session, and it was just amazingly beneficial. And I said, well, gosh, you know, if we're only using 5% of our brain, then the other 95% perhaps is meant for past life memories. I want to go there. I want to swim around in there and see what's in there. So how about we swap sessions? I specialize in abundance, and how about I give you abundance coaching and you give me hypnosis sessions? So we started doing that, and we both of our lives just took off. We started blossoming in ways that were amazing, and I said, what if we combine the two modalities? And we did, and so we got a few guinea pigs, and we did some experiments, and it was wildly successful, and we kept doing that and doing that, and I said, well, we've got to find a name for this. And I thought, hypno-coaching, no, that's not it. And then, so I asked my higher self, which I fondly refer to as Marvin Masters. And as soon as I asked the question and posed the question to my higher self, out came quantum hypnotherapy. And we trademarked it. We've probably done over 100 sessions. And what happens in 1 2-hour session is we return a person right back to their divinity, back to who they were before all the pain, and we leave them with the wisdom that the pain came to bring them, which leaves them in a much lighter state, in a much peaceful place, much more peaceful place. And the testimonials we're getting are just incredible. And being a person like yourself who understands hypnosis and how working with the subconscious mind makes all the difference. Combining those two modalities, I'm also an intuitive empath, which allows me to go straight to the germ of it and find out exactly what it is that the person isn't letting go of, whether it be past life, present life, or something they've blocked. And we work on the superconscious, subconscious, and conscious mind. And it's just an incredible thing that we're thrilled and lit up about that we get to do. And that's just one of our other jobs we do. This is what we do on nights and weekends. And nothing gives me more pleasure. So when I was doing some research on you and how important it is for you to lead people back to who they truly are, I felt such a synchronicity with you that I just had to have you on the show.
Oh, well, I'm so happy that you did and have. I agree with you. I talk about the tools of personal mastery as including all of the different forms of meditation, hypnosis and self-hypnosis, biofeedback, which can be as simple as I've got a $15 biofeedback machine I bought at Radio Shack, works just fine,
mm-hmm.
Or those cards that you put your thumb on to measure the temperature of the thumb. They're like $2. So there are biofeedback machines that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, but there are some very simple and affordable ones. So that plus meditation, sports psychology, my goodness, neurolinguistic programming, accelerated learning, the essence of yoga and martial arts all have a closed-eye relaxation process accessing the alpha brainwave level, which is where the subconscious you're talking about becomes available to us.
Mm-hmm.
It comes online, so to speak, and now we can upload and download more effectively. Meditation is the download. Self-hypnosis and hypnosis is the upload, the law of attraction.
That's so fabulous. I got to tell you what we do. When we're speaking with a client who's never been hypnotized before, and we're explaining to them what it is we're about to do for them, we liken it to removing the old software that no longer works, that's got viruses in it or whatever, and we remove that old software with their permission and their agreement, and then we redesign a new blueprint for them and install new software that's more beneficial for their life and where they're going, and we actually restructure their value system, because oftentimes a person's value system is based on what they don't want to be like. They don't even know that they don't know they're doing that. But but many of us, if we've come from a poverty background, let's say, a poverty consciousness, it's ancestry. You know, it's lifetimes ago, and it just keeps moving forward because it's not getting resolved. And it could even be that kind of a thing, and you don't know that you're living your life that way. What you do is you just go in there and reprogram that and reconstruct and redesign the blueprint that you would like for it to be and begin living from that place. And the superconscious, as you know, is the spirit mind where all possibility lives, and the subconscious is the child mind where you took everything literally up to the age of 8. So if someone told you that you're dumb, you're going to believe that in some program you don't know that's running inside of you as an adult, because that's still stuck in your subconscious. And then your conscious mind, of course, is where fear and doubt live. So we're hitting you on every level where there isn't one place where you can hide out from stepping into your greatness and getting back to who you were meant to be. So
we're totally in harmony on that. The superconscious, the higher self, as we often hear it described, I believe is the oversoul.
Mm-hmm.
I think our soul is already in heaven.
Oh, yes.
I think this is one of the greatest church heresies there is to tell people that their soul could not be any place but heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, to come into incarnation, this is hell.
Yes, I get it.
And our job is to bring heaven to earth, not to escape here and get away to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got mine, the heck with you.
Yeah.
But thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to bring heaven to earth and make this beautiful planet a suitable place for spiritual beings to exist.
And that's what we're doing, one person at a time.
I think so.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean when I say if every person on the planet had that intention for even one day, it would be a different world tomorrow. And it's happening more and more. And you know, not to dredge up the secret because everybody's talking about the secret, but if we showed that to fourth graders or whatever age would be cognitively correct for a child to grasp what's being said there, which is ancient wisdom.
Sure.
And it's in our DNA. We all know universal truths when we hear it. Even if an alien comes out of a ship and bonks you on the head and said these words to you, you know yourself if it's truth or not. Doesn't matter where it comes from. But that, I think, is the most marvelous vehicle for educating the uninitiated and helping them to understand that they are indeed in the driver's seat of their lives and they no longer feel so victimized by life circumstances happening to them. Life is not happening to them. Life is happening through them.
Oh, so nicely said. And if we go back to the idea of being made in the image of the Creator,
mm-hmm.
That makes us co-creators.
Totally.
And that means that what we put our attention on tends to manifest.
Absolutely, and grow.
So if, as you said a few minutes ago, our idea of a goal is to avoid what we don't want, sadly, we end up being attracted to the very thing we're trying to avoid.
Yes, and I also have another Katieism, and I believe that worry or fear is a secret wish that you want to come true. Now, if you think about that, the way that works is, if you're focused on what you don't want to happen, like, for instance, I sure hope I don't spill cranberry juice on my nice white suit today. What you're really thinking inside is, I hope I spill cranberry juice on my white suit today, and I hope I spill it on all of my clothes. It's you're expanding on what you're trying to avoid, and what you resist does persist, to use an overused term, but it is accurate. And the thing that you focus on does expand. It's if you don't stalk your thoughts, you're going to find your thoughts stalking you. And stalking your thoughts means you really, really must clean up your language. And sure. And what you were saying before, Michael, so eloquently, is we are here to bring heaven to earth. Our soul is already heaven. We are here to make this a suitable place to live. And by cleaning up our language and cleaning up our thoughts, it's a wonderful place to start.
And what
so
a beautiful
bravo for everyone who's working on that.
Indeed. And sharing it. And what a beautiful design. If whatever we put our attention on, we bring toward us, then if it is negative or wrong or not for the greater good or however we say it, then that should be brought toward us, because how else do we learn?
Exactly. And
so people talk about bad karma, but there really is no more bad karma than there is bad gravity. Just because you fell off your bike doesn't mean gravity is a bad thing. It's law.
Mm-hmm.
And so karma, or you reap what you sow, or you go where you look, you get what you expect, what goes around comes around. It's all the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
I say,
and if you are a good person or a bad person, and if you fall off a roof, you're going to hit the ground.
Indeed. Without judgment.
Yes, and it doesn't choose. And the same thing is true for abundance. If you're a good person or a bad person, if you're thinking correctly, you will attract abundance.
These are laws. But again, we've talked about a subconscious mind, which is full of hidden agendas.
Totally. Full of minuses we need to turn into pluses.
Sometimes subpersonalities, or we're at cross purposes, or there's some kind of secondary gain. People who are ill, for example, might not be in touch with it, but if they explore it a little bit, they could say, you know, there are some benefits that go with being sick. I get all this attention. I don't
mm-hmm.
have to go to work or school.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come to understand that the mind is magnetic, and again, consciousness is what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it's called spiritual love,
mm-hmm.
and it is magnetic, and it, on the spiritual plane, like attracts like, opposites repel, but we're still nevertheless creating and manifesting whatever it is that we put our attention. If I said to your listeners right now, do not think of a blue cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, now everybody think of a blue cow. There's mm-hmm. no difference.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, do not think of a blue cow, everybody thinks of it, because there's no way your mind cannot think of something that's been suggested to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you were saying, our words have to be positive. They have to be present tense. They have to be positive. And then the power factor, I think, is the emotional nature also.
Mm-hmm.
This is the passion side. And it confuses people, because there are advanced spiritual schools where we are to release desire. However, in human and personal development, desire plays a very important role.
Mm-hmm.
And we could even talk a little about that in terms of identity, because it's one thing to, on the material plane as a human being, desire material things. The secret is very oriented toward materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a world. That's not a bad thing. We should mm-hmm. have nice stuff. I'm not opposed to nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another approach that goes beyond the personal development to the higher self,
mm-hmm.
the soul, the true you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to let go of desire and to align your will with your best discernment of divine will. To wonder, why do we care about the things that we care about? To be less interested in our thoughts and what we think, which first of all, tend to be about other people, mm-hmm. and often so judgmental and so much about comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about ourselves, because we're incomparable, because each of us is unique, like the fingerprints and the DNA would indicate,
mm-hmm.
we're incomparable. What's the point of comparing ourselves to other people? You're not going to learn much about yourself at all that way.
Mm-hmm.
So letting go of desire is a quality of meditation that doesn't replace the personal development, the prosperity, and I need a better job, and I want this for my children. All of that's beautiful, but it's only halfway up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And as we let go of personal desires and let go of a sense of the self as our thoughts, we become the observer of our thoughts, and desire is replaced by aspiration. Instead of desire, we aspire. And what now is being attracted is not the material stuff on the horizontal so much, but being attracted toward the higher self on the vertical.
And I think that's the most important thing of all, because I believe, to me, true genius has less to do with academia than it does to being connected to Source. I believe a person who is fully connected to Source is a true genius.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Arabian word for spirit is jinn, and that's the root word for genius.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I have one for you. Did you know that the word entheos is Greek for God?
Yes.
And enthusiasm is the word that comes from entheos.
Now that I'd never thought of. That's
yes.
Beautiful.
And when you are enthusiastic, people cannot turn away from you because you are being in your source. You are channeling
right.
pure God.
Yeah.
And that's why enthusiasm is the most wonderful marketing tool you could possibly use.
Well, there you go. And again, when we talk about not from us so much, but through us,
mm-hmm.
we can become spiritual paths of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
We can, whether we call it self-hypnosis or meditation, and there's so many beautiful forms and varieties of these closed-eye relaxation processes that lower our resistance to the flow of spirit through us, of light. Oh, I see. And love, the harmony, the ability to see yourself in another person and God, Goddess in all things.
Mm-hmm.
That is a letting go process, as a matter of fact.
It is certainly, and it's not killing off the ego because we need a healthy ego, but what it's doing is disciplining it with the ego.
I agree. And keeping it in balance with higher self. I agree that we do need an ego in form.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to a number of Buddhists about this because, of course, Buddhism is often described as ego death.
Mm-hmm.
And dying to the self. And there is that process, but as long as we're carrying bodies, we have to have some part of consciousness that identifies as the separate self.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
There is another self, a higher self, that is not separate, that can be no more separate than a wave could separate from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soul or higher self, we could get a sense of ourselves as individuated. We're not God per se in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're more like a wave. And well, I'm not that wave over here, and I'm not this wave over there. I'm a unique wave, but my goodness, I'm clearly the ocean. I'm clearly the one. But when we get separated as a rain cloud or a mountain lake, that is coming into physical incarnation, getting an ego, which is necessary to survive, that's when we forget sometimes that we are the ocean.
Yes, and it's also necessary not just to survive. Ego is necessary so that we can step into our power and own our power and therefore become spiritual leaders. Because if you don't have some sort of self-knowledge of who it is you are and made in the image of likeness of your creator, whoever that is for you, then it does take a healthy ego to present that. And some people absolutely must have celebrity to get that word out there.
I think you're right. And I think this is, Katie, a paradox. Because to the new student, this may sound like we're contradicting ourselves. Okay, mm-hmm. you guys, which way is it? And, you know, one of the nicest explanations of this duality of self within the ultimate unity we call God, God is all that is, comes out of Eckhart Tolle's first book, The Power of Now.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
And in the very first chapter, you may remember, he wakes up very depressed and says to himself, or hears in his head the thought, I hate myself like this.
Mm-hmm.
But two other thoughts followed that are genius, really, I think. The second thought was, wait a minute, if I hate myself, how many of me are there? And the third thought,
right?
And the third thought was, well, if there's two or more, maybe only one of them is real.
Hmm.
Well, the part that's real is the I that hates myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as necessary as the ego is, or that hates a strong word, becomes frustrated, perhaps, but nevertheless,
or disowns,
lives in eternity and is tolerant of what we have to go through down here in form. But within the ultimate unity that religious people call God, I would argue that there are essentially two selves, the ego or persona nature, as I call it, and then the higher self, the spiritual self on its own plane, often called heaven, or Eden, or the Buddhic plane, sharing, as Plato said, sharing the ground of God, much, and the Sufi would say, much like a wave on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very nice models that a lot of us miss because the church put itself between us and the church and said, no, 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 your soul is just a little bit of something that's inside you, and when you die, if you've been good, then it'll go to heaven. Well, the soul couldn't be any place but heaven.
That I definitely have my own opinions about that. Which I'm sure you can read my mind.
Well, Crusades, Inquisition, another Inquisition.
Yes, yes, and I'm a walking barbecue. If you believe in reincarnation, this is the life you've been dying to live.
Yes.
And I believe I've lived many, 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 and I believe that for my belief system, which I refer to as BS, has been such that I couldn't have just been born this way in this lifetime alone. I know it's taken a long, 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 long time for me to become the person that I am, one who really, really wants a world that works for everyone, leaving nothing and no one out.
Yeah, well, you come to a point where you realize you have no choice. Once you understand this stuff, what can you do but tell everybody you know?
And I have to.
And
look what happened to those who do tell. I mean, look what happened to Jesus. But that still doesn't daunt me.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably one of the only progressive talent managers with a focus on consciousness on the planet. I am out loud and proud out of the consciousness closet, and I hope that everyone else follows. I know that for every person that is talking about it now, at least 1,000 more want to. And
well,
it's coming.
I certainly hope so. Again, I said before, we're at the crossroads here, and we could go into another Dark Ages here for 1,000 years, but there is a cosmic wind at our back.
Yeah.
And the universe supports those who conspire for the greater good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can't tell you how happy I am to hear you say that, because I happen to know, as an abundance coach, that when a person finds a way to make whatever it is they're doing in life, whatever the vocation is in life, if they find a way to make that vocation a way to be of service to mankind, the universe will show up to support that, and their physical needs will be provided for absolutely, unequivocally, every time, as constant as gravity. And the minute you get that you are a ministry, a walking ministry, and become somebody who looks at a person and sees that person as part of themselves, then every physical need you could possibly want is provided for. And yes, the secret did aim at goods and services and getting this and getting that girl or that vacation or this much money. But that's what it took to get people's attention.
I agree.
There's a lot more going on in that thing, in that feature film, in that book, in that audio book. However, whatever they choose to branch it out and make it into, hallelujah for it. Because there is a deeper, greater message there, and that is this. Two words. Inspired action.
Well, I love the word action, and some of the critics of The Secret have criticized it because they felt that word was not emphasized enough.
Exactly, and that's because that's from their own perspective, where they live from.
I like the phrase attraction in action.
Yes, and inspired action is my new way of saying work.
Good, I like that too.
Yes.
With a clear, positive, life-affirming vision.
Yes.
I mean, what could be more exciting? What greater adventure?
It's a wonderful time to be alive.
It certainly is.
It really is.
When this information is most needed.
Yes, absolutely. And we can heal ourselves. We can, and I had on, I don't know if you've heard my show before, but I had on Dr. John Holland, my chiropractor. I call him my psychiropractor. What I learned from him is that through chiropractic, and I felt like I lived in a cave because I didn't know this about chiropractic, that what it does is it activates the body's ability to heal itself.
Well, yeah, if you go to the idea of creating an alignment in the spine that allows, here we go again, for a path of least resistance,
mm-hmm.
for those nervous impulses to flow in that spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the spinal cord is also the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the caduceus, or the magic wand, or the wizard's rod, Jacob's ladder, if you will, the stairway to heaven, the ladder of lights, the chakra system. And again, it's all about letting go and opening to let the juice come down that rod.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Let it in, and then out into the world. And so many of us have bought into such a victim mentality,
mm-hmm.
and we put up our shields and our barriers and create these prisons that we then live in.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like Otis and Mayberry, he can get out of the jail anytime he wants. He's got the keys. He stays locked up anyway. He'd rather be in the jail, right?
Yeah, and the metaphor was there the whole time.
Yeah.
That's so funny and true and true.
So we got to reverse the direction. It's down and out. It's standing open and receptive to divinity, to divine will. We've got a conscience. Everybody's got a conscience, except for a handful of sociopaths, perhaps. But
yeah.
And in fact, I was thinking about this the other day, Kate. The idea that a lie detector works based on stress.
Mm-hmm.
Means that human beings, except for those exceedingly rare psychopaths who really don't know right from wrong, but other human beings become stressed when they lie.
Mm-hmm.
99.99% of people become anxious and nervous when they lie. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
that suggest that we're essentially very good people and we don't want to lie?
It sure does.
And
absolutely.
Then it stresses us out and promotes illness and disease.
Yes.
And even more confusion when we get out of balance.
Yes, and it is being out of balance, and it's out of integrity. And we basically are beings of integrity. And that's why with hypnosis it works so well, in to bring you back to that, because what we do with quantum hypnotherapy, being we're two people working with a client, is that with their permission and their agreement, every step of the way, do we make these consciousness shifts in them. And because they are giving us their agreement and their permission, they are giving their word. Being beings of integrity, they will keep their word when they come out of hypnosis. And that's what is so astoundingly effective about it, is we are beings of integrity and authenticity.
Well,
it's when we get out of balance and out of harmony that we create dis-ease in our lives that then needs medication to numb ourselves a little bit more with. But I believe people are waking up, and I really must believe that. And if I have to hypnotize my own self to believe that, then I'm choosing it, because what I focus on expands. And if I say so, it is so, at least in my realm. And if I'm in a position to help others wake up, then I need to believe that.
Well, there are personal laws, like you were saying. If I say so, it becomes so, because those are the laws of mind and the
yes.
laws of attraction. Then there are universal laws
yes.
that are immutable.
Yes.
Like if your will, conscious or subconscious, played a role in spilling the cranberry juice.
Yes.
But gravity was an impersonal, overriding
yes.
universal law.
Yes, and I chose to wear white, so you know, I was responsible for the whole thing.
You know, a really beautiful allegory, because we've been talking about the horizontal dimensions, trying to get love from other people or protect ourselves from other people when they hurt us, being people pleasing and trying to earn through a performance from other people the love that we don't know how to accept or bestow upon ourselves, and the nature of desire, again, on the horizontal. But we've also talked about magnetism of love or consciousness on the vertical and aspiring to divine will.
Mm-hmm.
And that little, shall I say, cross is really what the pre-Christian cross refers to.
Hmm.
Before Christ was nailed on a tree, what the cross meant in pre-Christian times were the horizontal and the vertical plane. The horizontal, the horizon, the material world, material universe. And the vertical is, again, the caduceus or the spine, the hierarchy that leads from the material upward to the spiritual. Well, while the cross and similar glyphs like the Tree of Life, for example, in the Kabbalah, another really nice one that fits over both of them is the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of the bottom of the pendulum swinging, you have the yin and the yang, the male and the female, the polarities of the material world in the bottom end of that pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
But on the top end of the pendulum, it's fixed. Eternal, infinite, unmovable, pure law.
That is such mind candy for me. I mean, it just... there is no end. If any person is ever bored, I have to wonder why.
Yeah.
I have to wonder why. If you're bored, it's because you're boring.
If you got that, let me add one little thing to it. Set that pendulum that's going back and forth into three dimensions, so now it goes round and round.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're tracing out is a cone, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the dunce cap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the witch's cap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wizard's cap.
Mm-hmm.
And the path upward on the outside of the cone is the sacred spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is seen in the snake traditionally, the kundalini, the two snakes coming up the caduceus. And yet the snake in Christian mythology was evil.
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed the Spaniards to kill all the Mayas and the Aztecs, the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas, because this beautiful symbol of life, the snake, the sine wave, vibration itself.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit has to vibrate. It's frequency. That's where you began your program.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brother Snake.
Mm-hmm.
And because some early church fathers said, no, the snake represents evil, we've plundered civilizations that had so much to teach us about these ancient understandings of our relationship as material beings to the spiritual oneness of things.
Yes, and many things have been misconstrued along the way.
Oh.
And I have, like you were making reference to the wizard's cap, I have a theory. Define for me, if you would, Michael, sorcerer.
Source or sorcier is obviously in there, so capital S source would be the Godhead or ultimate divinity, so sorcerer I would think would be one who seeks to access his or her ultimate source.
You go to the head of the class. You are the very first person who ever got that the first time I said it.
To wield that power or love.
Absolutely. Sorcerers are people who are connected to Source.
Right.
And that is my opinion. And when I get a classroom of people to tell me, define sorcerer, and they say wizard, magician, person who can do anything, person who can have anything, a person who is magical, and then I say, I have it that a sorcerer is a person connected to Source. Are you not a person connected to Source? Yes, I am. Can you not do all those things you described, therefore? And then they say, yes, I can. And talk about stepping into your power in a different way. It's such a wonderful mind shift to look at it like that, and they walk differently when they get that.
And at the same time, we got to remember poor old Mickey Mouse in The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Poor old Mickey Mouse.
You know, there is great responsibility that goes
in great power,
daring to wield divine love.
Yes, yes, but we would hope that being people are all innately good, which is my firm belief, that we would choose properly, and there are of course those who would not. But you know, they skewer themselves on their own petard eventually, and I think we have a caller. Is there a caller?
Oh, hello. I just want to say that this is a very exciting conversation, and I just wanted to call in and tell you that I hope that I don't know if you're going to be on what your schedule is for next week, but I would love to see this continue to next week. I just wanted to call in and say that.
Who's calling?
It's Ted. Ted's calling.
Oh, hi, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and that was a very nice comment. And we have many discussions like this, which you'll be able to enjoy. So
yes,
thank you so much for calling in. Michael, did you have anything you wanted to say to Ted?
No, Ted probably doesn't know you're booked out 2 months in advance, but it's a very nice compliment.
Yes.
He should know that you're here every week at this time, right?
He probably does.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that call. That's great.
Oh, he's still on the line. Hey, Ted.
I think he just left.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about Internet radio, Kate. I mean, where else are people going to get, this kind of information? And I'm on Pacifica. I'm podcasting that program, and I'm looking to expand.
Oh, yes, please do. Tell us every place where we can hear you, because this has just been such an invigorating conversation, and it is, in fact, the first time you and I have had an opportunity to speak to one another.
That's true.
And I hope it's not the last. Anything you have going on, I would love to be a part of and assist however I can. And if you just tell our listeners where else they can hear you speak and what you have going on. I know you do personal development through emotional intelligence seminar type things for turning confusion and anxiety into vision and passion, and you work with corporations in this way as well?
Yeah, I wish I worked with more. That's real missionary work.
It totally is.
You know, that's the belly of the beast out there. But in fact, that second website you mentioned, I call my sanitized website, because you got to meet corporations where they are. The need is great, but you can't talk about meditation in most businesses, even though that's exactly what they need.
Well, if you create a new language, I think anything is possible.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Exactly, so. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I call it guided imagery.
Yeah, so why don't you give our listeners one more time your websites, Michael, before we end our hour here. I think we're about to go off in about 2 minutes. So whatever's in your heart and in your mind that you'd like to share or that you'd like to say right now beside your websites, please do so, and we'd love to know what that is.
Okay, thanks. The MichaelBenner.com website, again, is essentially for business. Most of the work I do in business is relationship management, motivation, conflict resolution, sensitivity, teaching people how to get along with each other, how to motivate yourself and other people, even your boss, not just your coworkers or those who work for you.
Mm-hmm.
My public site, the bigger site, my mystical site, is theagelesswisdom.com. You got to remember the T-H-E, theagelesswisdom.com.
Mm-hmm.
My commercial-free radio program on KPFK, I've been there 14 years as a volunteer, and that's Friday afternoons at 1 o'clock California time,
mm-hmm.
on 90.7 FM.
And wonderful.
That also streams free, commercial-free, at kpfk.org. And my podcast is also free, and that can be picked up, subscribed to at my website or the iTunes Music Store, just type in my name, Michael Benner, into the search box, and you can subscribe for free with a single click.
Wonderful. And when we listen to these things, will we hear more wonderful conversations like we've just had?
Sure. It's what I'm all about.
I love it. This is wonderful. What an exciting thing to get to discover you. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and not only for your show, but the work that you're doing with your partner, the quantum therapy. What are you calling it? Quantum hypnotherapy.
That's quantumhypnotherapy2.com if you would like to check out our testimonials and see what we're up to. And we work from ages from the womb to the tomb, and it's so effective and such a beautiful thing we get to do. And I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners out there. Thank you to Ted for calling in. That was wonderful and such a nice compliment. And stay tuned for next week. We'll have an equally wonderful show next week. And be sure you listen to Michael Benner anywhere you can find him. Check out his websites and be sure you get to enjoy his offerings. And just want to tell everybody once again, take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourself. And thank you so much again, Michael, for being my guest, and good night, everyone.